to notice 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Now, I want to focus a little while and zero in on that last statement there in that verse, only in the Lord. We want to bear in mind that the Scriptures gives instruction to save people.
Yes, Lord.
Instruction in God's Word is not to unsave people, but to save people. If people were obeying and going by God's Word, they'd be saved. Everybody that's doing that is saved. And people that don't obey God's word and don't go by it, why, there's not much point in giving them instruction. The only instructions in God's word to the sinner man is to repent and forsake his sins and take Jesus into his heart and life. But now, this in the Lord is addressed to saved people, free to be married to whom they will, only in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this is very important and covers a broad area. And I would like to admonish us at the outset that a person being saved isn't their only requisite for marrying you or me. There's some more to it than that. When Brother Smith was here, he made a statement like this, and I've believed that all the time, and I've said it in other words than what he said it, but he said, the Lord knows the end from now. Whatever's developing now, the Lord knows how that's going to turn out down there. He knows the end of that. And therefore, if we would learn to acknowledge Him in all of our doings, and this is particularly in regard to marriage, because I'm kind of dealing with that subject now in a series of messages on courtship and marriage and home life and all, the whole package. Now, young people especially are inclined to be seduced and caught up in beholding beauty and handsomeness. The handsomeness of men and the beauty of women. And kind of get caught up with that and drawn away with that, but there's more to it than that. When you choose a companion, that's for life. Till death do us part. And the only real scriptural reason that God gives for a dissolution of marriage is death of one of the partners. That's the only way out of that. Now, this is for the rest of your life. And God knows the end from now. And whatever is developing or going on with us now, God sees just how that's going to turn out. And we learn to recognize that and consult God. Commit our way to God. We'd come out a lot better than what some of us do. Now, just being saved, or saved and sanctified, one of the best experiences a person can have, that does not say that they'll fit with every other saved and sanctified person. They may not be compatible at all. They may not have things in common in any way. And their personalities may clash and their dispositions may clash. Just being saved isn't the only requisite. Therefore, when you're considering a saved person, you should conduct this in the Lord too. Yes. Only in the Lord. We're told in the 35th Psalm, verses 5 through 7, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Oh, what an exalted and blessed state for one to be vindicated of the Lord in bringing forth his righteousness as the light and his judgment, good sound judgment, good sense, good common sense. You know, we're taught in school that we have five senses and we know what they are. But there's a sixth sense that is more important than any of them, I suppose, and that's common sense. And when the Lord can put his approval upon us and bring forth our judgment as good, sound judgment, divine judgment, divine guided judgment, and good sense, good common sense, in committing his way unto the Lord and waiting patiently upon him, that's a sufficient vindication for our doing this. Yes. To just have the Lord put his seal on us, and there's somebody with good judgment and good common sense. And folks, when you're in this stage of your life, that's when you sure need good common sense. And you need good judgment because life's ahead of you.
Amen, that's true.
And the partner that you choose for life is going to be with you the rest of your life. Or let us hope it's so anyway. Now, there is generally a considerable imbalance between young men and young women among the saints. We have more young women saved than we do young men. I'm sorry about that.
Yes, Lord.
I'm a man. I'd like to see men serving the Lord. But there are more young women saved among the saints than there are young men. This creates a problem for our young sisters, and they may have to wait a little more on the Lord than otherwise. But now I might have a little word of encouragement at this point. You know, when God made the creation and everything here, there wasn't a suitable helpmate for Adam. He'd made Adam, but there wasn't a suitable helpmate for him, and so God made him one, created him a wife. God did this. Now, my admonition to you is that God can make you one if there's not one handy. God can make you one. God's still a creator. But he is concentrating now on his new creation. Literally, he created Adam a wife, a suitable helpmate for him. He's working now in his new creation, but he's a creator the same as he was then. And if there is not a saved young person where you are that's available to you, God can create you one, make you one, save you one. See, that's what I'm talking about. He can reach out and save somebody.
Yes, Lord.
That will be suitable for you. Now, some have spoken rather lightly about young folks going to Monarch Springs to camp meeting. And they say it's just to get with the young folks and find them a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And that's the main drawing card there. Well, now, folks, it may surprise you a little bit for me to say this, but I'm going to say that's exactly what I believe in. I don't believe that they ought to just be going for that purpose. I believe that they should be going for the meeting and for the benefits of the meeting, but that's where I believe in them going. And getting there, where there's a good number of saved young people assembled there. If I had children and young folks growing up in my family now, that's exactly what I'd be doing. I'd be getting them to those meetings every time I could get them there. And keep them in contact with saved young people and with the saints. That's what I believe in. Saved young folks should be seeking their companions among saved young folks. Saints in light should be seeking their companions among saints in light. And those meetings are a place to find them. Now, if you're not saved, I hope, that all of our young folks are. If you're not, I wish you were.
Yes.
I hope you will be soon.
Yes.
But in the event that you're not, you're not entitled to marry a saved young person. But I would say at that point, that if you've been brought up in a saint's home and taught the Bible truth all your life, that you'll stand a better chance by seeking your companion among people that have been brought up in the homes of the saints and taught the Bible truth. All our lives too. Even though they may not be saved yet, and you may not be saved yet, I believe that you'll stand a better chance. It'll work out better on down the line for you to choose your companion among people that's been brought up with a background like yours.
Amen.
And have been taught the same things that you have been taught.
Yes.
Now I'm sorry to say this that I'm going to have to say now, but marrying someone who has been brought up by saints and taught Bible truth all our lives isn't a sure shot. I've known of some very sad cases in this area. And I know of some very sad and difficult cases in this area now. But even that being true, and it is true, and I'm sorry that it is. But even that being true, I still recommend that your chances will be much better there than just going out and picking somebody among the rank and file of the world.
That's true. Amen.
But my best recommendation to you is that you seek the Lord before you seek your companion. And get the Lord in your heart and in your life, guiding you. And that you can commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him to bring it to pass. This is the most important choice you'll ever make in your life. You'll never make one that means more than this.
Amen.
Your life's companion. The one that's going to share your life with you, and you're going to share your life with them. The one that will affect the course of your life more than anybody else in this whole world. There's nobody that will affect your life as much as your bosom companion.
Amen.
So in the Lord is the best that I can say. Commit thy way to God. Trust in Him. And He'll bring it to pass. It is God's ordained will that men and women marry. And since it is, if you'll commit your way to Him and submit your will to His will and trust in Him, He'll provide somebody that's suitable for you to marry.
Yes, Lord.
And bring you in contact with them. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, he says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou wilt say, I have no pleasure in them." Life has a lot of disappointments at the best, and it has lots of troubles and trials and tests of life at the best. But if a young man and a young woman stand definitely committed the one to the other and give themselves in faith and trust the one to the other to where they'll be linked right together and holding together in those disappointments and trials and tests of life, it'll be a lot better for them.
Amen.
Better for both of them. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, in verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding."
Amen.
It's just natural for young folks to lean to their own understanding in this most important decision and choice of their lives. They say, "I know what I want." And when it sums down to what they want, why, it's somebody that's has a beauty of features and well-shaped, and
yes.
They think that'll just be nice to have that person around, and somebody that's handsome and stalwart and looks manly, and all they think that'd be great. I know what I want. But what you want may not be the best for you.
Amen.
The Lord knows the end from now. And just how life's going to go in your case on down the line if you do this or if you don't do it.
God.
Jesus taught us, Matthew 6:25. Well, first, I didn't get that. 6th verse of the 3rd chapter of Proverbs says, "In all your ways acknowledge him." And oh, how important it is to acknowledge him in this special and particular thing.
Yes, Lord.
"And he'll direct thy paths." "In all our ways acknowledge him" means to me to consult him about everything. Take him as the partner of my life, and not a silent partner neither.
Amen.
But the principal partner in the corporation of Jesus and Wilson. And he'll be the principal one. "In all our ways acknowledge him." Pray about everything. Commit everything into the hands of God. Trust him to work out everything in your life. "Seek ye first," Jesus taught us, in the... Well, then he said he'd direct our path. He can't direct our path till we turn it over to him.
Amen.
Till we commit it to him. And then he'll direct our path, and he'll bring us to our desired haven. The 107th Psalm, 3 or 4 different times, he tells about severe trouble that people got in and come to the end of their wits, and then they called upon the Lord, and he heard them and brought them to their desired haven. If we'll let God direct our lives, that's the reason he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." He wants to get a hold of your life before you get your life messed up and you get in a lot of trouble. And therefore he admonishes us to turn our lives over to him and pray about everything, commit everything to him.
Yes.
Then he'll direct our paths.
Yes,
Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." That's the foundation, folks.
Amen.
That's the foundation. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These other things, he says, will be added. He'll take care of them if we'll just seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And his righteousness. That's the course for us to take, and that's the solid foundation upon which our lives can be built.
Yes.
Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet. You're going to take an important step now. Really important. Ponder it. Weigh it out. Consider everything. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. If there's ever a time when you need your common sense with you, it's when you're approaching these kind of steps. But that's the very time you're likely to lose your common sense. If you don't watch. Now there is a period called courtship. And that's an very important period, preliminary to marriage. Courtship is the time of getting acquainted, learning each other. And in the time of your courtship, you should talk over between yourselves everything that could possibly affect your lives together. And arrive at firm understandings on every point of issue. Where you want to live. That's important. I know a couple now. They're more up in years. This is a second marriage for both of them. But each of them had their home. And they're 1,400 miles apart. They're married now, but neither one of them wants to give up their home. That's kind of an issue between them. They should have thrashed that all out before they ever got married.
Yes.
Talked that all out and come to a firm agreement on that, but they didn't. Well, the way they're handling the present emergency is that they live in one of their homes for maybe 3 months or so, get on an airplane, fly back across the country, and live in the other one's home for 3 or 4 months. Then get in the airplane and fly back across the country and live in that home for 3 or 4 months. That's no good. That won't last. But it's a bone of contention. Something you don't need. And something that should have been settled before you entered marriage. Talk over whether you want children or not. And how many? I just heard the other day of a case of this kind. And that marriage is on a shaky foundation now. Because one of them wants children and the other one doesn't. They should have settled that before they ever entered marriage. Should have talked that over and come to a firm agreement on that during their courtship and their time together. You should openly, frankly talk over all your likes and dislikes. We're getting acquainted now. We're going to join our lives together, maybe. And it'll be for life. And we should have a good understanding on our likes and dislikes and what we're going to expect out of each other.
Yes, dear God, that's true.
What is that young man going to expect out of that young lady? What is that young lady going to expect out of that young man? We should know what we're undertaking when we undertake it. We should know what we're getting into before we get into it. You should well sound out your common grounds. What you have in common between you. One woman that had been married. I started to say she'd been married for quite a few years. She said to my wife Evelyn one day, said, "I don't know why we ever married," said, "we have hardly anything in common." Those folks didn't fit. We just have hardly anything in common. Don't know why we ever married. Sound out your common grounds. Things that you have in common, things that you can make a basis of your life on, and that you can enjoy together. There may be other lesser matters that you may like or dislike in your own personality. But if there is nothing in common, there's no compatibility. And if there's no compatibility, you've got a pretty poor chance of making success.
That's right.
In your marriage. But compatibility is built and established on the common grounds. Things that we hold and have in common. During this time of courtship, you should study each other carefully. Your life's out there before you. You're entering into a lifetime agreement. Commitment. You should study each other carefully. And look for character traits and manly virtues and womanly graces, rather than the handsomeness of manly features and physique, and the beauty of the features and bodily build and shape of the girl that you're attracted to. Those things will all change. Beauty will fade. The shape that is so seducing to you, it'll change in coming years. Age will take its toll. There must be something beyond that.
Amen. That's true.
Good, solid character, womanly graces and manly virtues and things that you can build on and that will last. When the beauty features have faded out and when the shape has changed and that attracts you now, it's all different. Good, solid character traits. That's what you should look for. In your courtship and your association with that woman or that man that's going to share your life with you for the rest of your life, you should be looking for good, solid character traits. Then you should go to each other's home and go together. And when you get in that home, spend a little time there. Watch that young man and see how he treats his mother. That can tell a lot. That's important. If he treats her, see if he treats her with respect and courtesy and honor. If he does, he'll likely treat you the same way. If he disrespects his mother and doesn't honor her, he's not likely to respect you and honor you.
That's right.
On down the line. See how the girl relates with her father. That'll tell a lot. If that girl doesn't respect her father and shows no inclination to be obedient and subject to him and fails to honor him, you can expect that kind of treatment toward you. Brother Chandler used to teach us that people will behave just like they're conditioned. See how that husband treats his wife. And if he shows respect and honor to his wife, see how that woman treats her husband. And if she shows a meek and quiet spirit and gentle disposition and a tenderness and submissiveness toward him, that's what you're going to get. On down the line. We have a scripture that says this, like people, like priests. It doesn't say this that I'm going to say now, but it follows in the same principle, like mother, like daughter.
That's about right.
Like father, like son. Some of the characteristics and dispositions of the parents is going to show up in the children.
Amen.
On down the line.
Right.
So the better you can know the parents, the better chance you're going to have and a guide for the way things will go with you on down the line. I was in the home of a brother one time, and he was in a little case with his daughter then, and she was going to do something that he didn't want her to do, and she came through the room and he said something to her about it, and she kind of swung herself around and says, "Oh, phooey on you." That was her daddy she's talking to. Be good to leave girls like that alone.
Yes.
That's the way they'll talk to you too. Now, I don't remember what that case was, maybe I didn't get the details of it, what he didn't want her to do, but she was going to do it. But that girl went on and got married. She got divorced. She married again and died like that. People with those kinds of dispositions and attitudes toward those that are over them, and surely their parents are over them, but if they don't respect and honor their parents, they're not going to respect and honor you either. And things will just be very turmoil on down the line. Courtship is a time to ferret out all these things. And it should be a time of education and of getting acquainted and weighing everything out as you go, one thing against another. It's a very important operation in your life, that courtship operation. And it should be carried out in the Lord. And above all things, going through that period of your life, keep yourself pure. There will be strong urges, strong temptations. But when you're strongly tempted, and you will be, don't think you won't.
Amen.
Just remember then and there, the future is where I'm going to live out the rest of my life. And the choices and decisions I make now are going to affect the rest of my life. And hold yourself separate and aloof from each other in those areas. And bring to your marriage a pure, chaste, clean body to present to the woman or the man that you're committing yourself to spend the rest of your life with.
Amen.
You'll be glad that you did.
That's true.
Amen. When all is said and done, you'll be glad that you kept yourself pure and that you brought your purity to the marriage altar to present to the young man or young woman that you were committing yourself to for life. Amen.